Well, we're in Lincoln, and we're going to visit with former U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Clayton Yeater. Clayton is here for an event honoring the 150th anniversary of the Morrill Act, that created the land-grant institutions across the country. And good to see you again. And so tell us, first of all, what you're doing these days.
Well, thank you, Ken. I'm still practicing international trade law with a large law firm in Washington, D.C., spending about maybe a third or half my time doing that. And the rest of the time, I get a chance to sit on some corporate boards and do speeches and a few things like that that are really fun.
We had a news conference here just a little bit ago, and a lot of questions about the farm bill and farm programs. But an interesting final comment was that this really isn't a top issue for most farmers right now.
No, it isn't, because most farmers are beyond that now. The level of sophistication and management skills in American agriculture is just incredible today in what we would call commercial agriculture. And so these folks are thinking well beyond farm programs. They may be of some relevance in individual situations, but by and large, as long as there's a bit of a safety net there that can keep them from going under in cyclical agriculture, they're not really too worried about that anymore, because they're really doing very well as agricultural producers. They feel that they will do well in the future. They have a lot of confidence in the future. They believe they can compete internationally, and I believe that too. And so they're more interested, in my view, in finding ways to manage their risks in a sensible way. Crop insurance helps to some degree in that respect, but they can do a lot aside from that. And then they want to develop markets globally. As you know, I've been involved in international trade negotiations for the last 30, 40 years, and we still got a lot more markets to open around the world, and we need to get it done.
And government regulations is a big concern. What's the right mix as far as regulation? I mean, you got to have some. Where do you go too far?
Well, we do have to have some. In fact, we've discovered through the Wall Street debacle over the last 3 or 4 years that the absence of regulation can cause some real problems. And there was inadequate regulation, and in some cases no regulation at all, that brought on that debacle for which we're all now paying as American taxpayers, and that's really unfortunate. But the fact is, we can also have too much regulation. This varies from administration to administration, and I may be showing my political stripes a bit right now, but it seems to me that the trend in recent years has been toward over-regulation. I don't think the balance has been quite right. We need to make sure we don't swing the pendulum back too far the other way and add some risks to society and to agriculture. But that's where leadership comes in, and that's where good judgment comes in. And whether they be Democrats or Republicans and sitting in those regulatory seats in Washington, what we have to hope is we have people move into those slots who have just good, sound judgment, good Midwestern values as they apply their judgmental skills.
Remind us again your time as Secretary of Agriculture.
Well, I was there under President George H.W. Bush, and so that's quite a few years back now. We did the 1990 Farm Bill at that time, which added a lot of more market orientation to what had been there in the 80s. 80s were tough times, as you'll remember, with a lot of farmers going bankrupt. And there I think we swung the pendulum too far in the late 80s in correcting for that and putting in some very lucrative farm programs, if you will, that distorted our agricultural picture, and we had to swing the pendulum back a bit the other way in 1990 and put more dependence on the international marketplace, which has been an interest of mine all the way back to my being in the Reagan cabinet as a U.S. trade representative in the late 80s. Fortunately, we opened up a lot of markets, the beef market in Japan being an example of that, and the bringing agricultural into the Uruguay round negotiations for the first time and doing the U.S.-Canada free trade negotiations and a bunch of other things. And that really set the groundwork for international trade being a much bigger segment of the American economy than ever before. You know, it was like 10% when I came into government in 1985, and it's now closer to 30% today. So we're much more dependent upon global agriculture today than we were before. But fortunately, we've learned how to export.
So are you pleased with where we're at on the trade side? Do you see any challenges ahead?
Well, there are plenty of challenges. One is the fact that the so-called Doha Round of Trade Negotiations, which has been underway for 10 years, has gone nowhere. That's a real disappointment to me, because as we negotiated the Uruguay Round ahead of that, we laid the groundwork for the next trade negotiation, meaning the so-called Doha Round. And we got a lot done in the Uruguay Round, and unfortunately our successors who around the world who've been dealing with those same issues in the Doha Round have been spinning their wheels for most of the last 10 years. As a consequence, that has created a vacuum in international trade and led again to a little more of a law of the jungle out there, and that's not good, because when we operate that way, the U.S. tries to follow the rules, and a lot of other countries choose not to do so. So we're going to have to respond to that again with some more negotiations. The biggest one underway right now, which has immense potential importance to American agriculture, is the so-called Trans-Pacific partnership negotiations, the TPP, which most farmers probably don't even know about. But that's nations of the Pacific Rim, and of course Southeast Asia, or all of the East Asia, is the greatest area of potential export growth for us in this country. But the key to that negotiation is bringing Japan in. Japan is not yet in. They'd like to come in if their government can survive the opposition of Japanese agricultural folks. But if Japan comes in with the barriers they have to the import of agricultural products, that becomes a huge negotiation of great potential benefit to American agriculture.